Ready. Go.
Will you come back to me?
Not so fast. What are these?
Strange bullshit.
For centuries, stories of an enormous black ship, seen only in the flashes of lightning and traveling at unnatural speed despite tattered sails, have been passed down by sailors. Many claim to have seen the legendary Flying Dutchman with their own eyes, telling tales of near misses and lucky turns of fate, which spared them the watery fate of most who saw but did not live to tell. I'm B. Nev, and this is Strangeful Things.
Yeah.
So this is it's a seafaring episode. And
I like Brit, pirates.
That's right. Brit worked on her parts of it. But before we get there, we have to run down a little bit of a list of some famous nautical nastiness and mysterious mizzen masts and hopefully a poop deck. Some of these things might become their own episodes at some point, but for some right now, oh, by the way, I'm Acadia Einstein, and the fellow companions are B-Nev and Jen Martinelli, as always. If you're listening to this, you can head over to StrangefulThings.com or go to iTunes and give us a good review, because that helps more people find us. And go to Patreon.com/Acadia and give us money so that I don't die penniless. So we've got these three little palate cleansing stories about ships. Ships are the bravest of the vehicles because the ocean is very large and they are very small. So
that's true.
Just going out there is dangerous enough. And sometimes it gets even worse when fucked up things happen that don't really have anything to do with the fact that it was a boat. So
exactly.
So Jen can start us out.
Shall I proceed?
Yep.
Okay. So, I'm saying this right, Orang Medan.
Yep.
The Strait of Malacca separates the Malay Peninsula or the Malay Peninsula from Sumatra in the Pacific Ocean. It's a pretty busy and important place over there in the Indonesian area of the world, and it's important to trade and all the stuff that boat people are always bragging about. Well, in 1947, two American ships were heading through the strait when they heard a distress call from a ship called the Orang Medan. The person on the radio said that he was a member of the crew and that everyone on the ship was dead. I guess except him. At first, anyway. The last thing he said over the radio was, "I die." Hey. Well, that's fucking creepy.
Right.
Well, the would-be rescuers found the Orang Medan completely unharmed, but every single living soul on board, including the dog,
was dead.
Was dead, I assume.
Yep.
According to witnesses, every corpse had a terrified expression. Oh, and the ship caught fire and blew up before anyone could do some heavy investigating. So there's that. Maybe we should do an episode on this one.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, I have a soft spot for stories of the sea. I don't know, maybe.
Do you?
Yes. So I've actually heard this one before.
Really?
I have a theory on it. But I'm going to save that.
Well, maybe you're going to be a special nautical correspondent, B-Nev.
I could.
Oh, yes.
I could.
Yes.
You know.
The B stands for Bounding Main.
Okay.
What? It doesn't stand for boat?
And boat.
Oh, my God.
And boat's mate.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is the first episode I was on was when we started the whole "you sound like you're on a boat."
You're on a boat, bang. And you were going to build an ark.
And I was going to build an ark.
That's true.
Yeah,
very interesting.
And actually, I have some family history in pirating. Actually, one of my ancestors was killed by Blackbeard the pirate.
Stop it!
I swear to God. If I'll have to find our old family tree that dates back to like really long time ago that my grandfather had saved and I guess had been transferred onto different sheets of paper over the years, and
oh boy,
it's got to be kept in a canister and can't be touched by like your actual hands. You have to wear gloves and stuff.
Oh my god!
What you're describing the plot of that Nicolas Cage movie where he steals the Declaration of Independence.
I'm gonna steal the Declaration of Independence.
Well, right, I am a national treasure. So,
Whoa, God.
So, I also have a history of pirating because I got a virus from LimeWire back in 2003.
No, your story is lame.
It's true.
But nobody cares. Okay.
Remember how easy it was to get stuff off LimeWire, except that nobody.
I never used it.
Are you shitting me? You know, the NSA can't hear you. You can own up to it now.
No, I never used it. I used Napster. I used the shit out of Napster. I can't even estimate how many things I stole from that. But LimeWire, I never used.
Napster was the best.
Yeah, it was.
Well, all right. Well, then, so you know about you know more stuff about the Orang Medan.
I do.
All right.
I actually have a theory on it, but I'm going to
save it.
Theory.
Don't be giving away the milk for free like you do on Tinder. Go on.
Oh my god.
So the next story is High Aim 6. In 2003, a Taiwanese ship was found drifting off Australia. When the vessel was boarded, searchers found plenty of food, plenty of fuel, and a big cargo hold full of seafood that was all rotted. Oh, that's unfortunate. Mm. They also found the personal belongings of the crew. The ship didn't blow up.
The other one did. I thought that would be important info.
Wait, what?
The ship didn't blow up, though, and forensic experts were able to determine that there was no evidence of foul play or even a struggle. A giant search was launched but turned up nothing. Strangely, the ship's engineer, who was never found, had a cell phone, which was still making calls. Calls from Indonesia were logged 10 days after the ship was found. So when you figure that the ship must have bobbed around for a while before it was found, that's a long time.
If it was 10 days after they found it that they were still making calls, it wasn't like they found it the day it got abandoned.
That's true.
It was just, the fish wouldn't have been rotted if it had been the first day.
Well, clearly.
Yeah.
Now, according to the story, they managed to find one crew member alive. He told investigators that there had been a mutiny. The engineer and captain had been killed, and the mutineers then went home. Wait, this whole story.
They went home?
That's the worst mutiny ever. Like, that's literally the story, though. That's what he said.
And then we're just going to go home, bye.
Right. Whatever. Like, what's the sense of being a mutiny if you're just not going to keep the boat?
Right.
Or the seafood that's probably worth a lot of money.
And your own shit that you left there. Like, I don't think they understand mutiny. I think they just...
I don't think so either.
I think this was just murder, and
right.
The guy confused the words.
And because it took place on a boat?
And they both took... They began with M. Like, that makes no sense. Like, oh yeah, we killed him because this guy...
He needed to dial M for murder on his phone.
Dial M for mutiny.
Oh, Jesus. M for mutiny.
Maybe
I just
the
don't
only
think
phone.
The word... I just don't think that they should be able to use the word mutiny in... As soon as you get into the year 2000, I'm just like, what?
Mutiny,
what do you mean he had a cell phone?
What you guys do to me every week.
I'll go fuck yourself.
See?
Well, we are on a boat, too. So,
I mean, the brig, not the bridge.
Make it so, number one.
The bridge is the important part. Yeah, you get the opposite of that. The tunnel.
Oh, my gosh.
You get in the ship's tunnel. I know a lot of
I think
of
it's
boats.
Like the gallows or
no,
something.
The galley.
I don't know.
That's the kitchen.
Galley.
You're the boat correspondent. Get your shit together.
Okay.
Poop deck. All right.
Poop deck.
So the last story before Brit's blockbuster is about Carol A. Deering. North Carolina, where I live half the time, has a place that is named, in a testimony to sensible naming, Cape Lookout. And since that was the name of the place, it seemed like a great spot to put a lighthouse. So they did. Way back in 1805, the U.S. government said, put a lighthouse on Cape Lookout, because it would make no sense to put it on Cape Can't See Shit. So they put it there, and over the years, they added a light ship because the area to cover was pretty big. And a light ship is, just like you'd think, it's a ship that just sits there with a bunch of lights on it because you can't build lighthouses in the water.
Right. There's a famous light ship in Boston, as an aside, called the Nantucket.
Ooh.
Which sits, they send it, its job is to sit in like the strait between Nantucket and the Cape, I guess, or something. And so it actually, you know, it circulates out. Physically, the boat changes, but they always rename it Nantucket. And it's like a big deal. Famous boat. Anyway, I took some pictures of it one time. It was sitting in the harbor by my house.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
In another brief aside that we will not discuss, I'm just going to drop it here and then move on. Masshole was officially put into the Oxford English Dictionary.
Sweet.
I saw you post something about that. I liked it.
So, on January 28th, 1921, the lightship encountered a 5-masted schooner that looked to be pretty beat up. The lightship hailed the vessel, and a crew member yelled from the deck that they had lost both of their anchors. Now, we might have to make this one its own episode, too, because I want to know why the hell they didn't, help them.
Right.
Because 3 days later, the Carolee Deering was found run aground on the Diamond Shoals of Cape Hatteras, and there was nobody on board. Due to the relative unpopularity of cell phones in 1921, they couldn't find any of the people, and...
the relative...
yeah.
That took me a second. Sorry. Carry on.
Where did they go? What happened during the three-day gap? What the hell is the lightship for if it doesn't help messed-up ships that don't have anchors? And we may never know these answers unless someone decides that we should do a whole show on this Captain Britt.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I am familiar with this story too. So I have no theories on this one, however.
Interesting.
Well, you will by the time you're done doing a lot of research.
Well, of course I will.
Well, all right.
You know, it's unfortunate that we don't have as many ships out at sea as we used to. Because there's not as many really cool stories anymore. Most of them have happened so long ago. So the information, the stories were probably originally just passed around to different sailors. Having them actually written down, they don't always tend to be reliable. The stories you can find a different version of the same story about 10 times.
Yeah. So. And right. When I was doing research for this piece of the show, I found a bunch of them that I wasn't even going to, because they were basically just like fables and shit.
Right.
I tried to find ones that at least had some backup.
I found a awesome video that I believe we were talking about putting in the show notes. Do you know which video I'm talking about, Jen? Jenny from the block? I found a great video when we were in a convo, and so I will make sure that it gets shared to Jenny from the block. So
that's great.
I will take care of it.
It had great music, and it was really spooky.
I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. I'm probably just tired. I can't wait to see it.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I don't know. So many things. Okay. Carry on.
Okay.
So there's a real, like, the mama bear of all lost ghost ship stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So then why don't we, since Britt just decided to start with dessert.
What?
And give the best thing first. Why don't you... Because she took the absolute best ghost ship story, and that's her story. It's a good one.
So now we're going to have to,
for the other ones later on, we're going to have to
have to really beef it up.
Yeah, or make up some lies and shit.
Make up some lies.
We can make up stories.
Yeah.
People don't know. They don't know.
That'll totally work.
Scintillating fiction, that's what I call it. So.
Oh, God.
Carry on.
Gee.
Okay.
Terrifying
so
Jen.
Now, yes, that's me. I'm very terrifying. Open your mouth.
Oh my gosh, we need a shirt that says that.
Oh, I have the audio of it beat up. I'm going to put it all over the place.
Oh my gosh.
Make that shit your ringtone. That's what you should do.
I put it at the end of one of our Strangeville things, and none of you people even notice.
I did notice. I know, I noticed.
Okay, good. All right. So, getting back to the story here. In Edgar Allan Poe's 1833 short story, MS Found in a Bottle, he tells the story of a man who becomes the unwitting passenger on a strange ship manned by a blind crew. His first sight of the fearsome vessel atop the crest of an enormous wave gives a sense of the fear which the ship induced in those unlucky enough to see its approach.
Casting my eyes upwards, I beheld a spectacle which froze the current of my blood. At a terrific height directly above us, and upon the very verge of the precipitous descent, hovered a gigantic ship of perhaps 4,000 tons. Although upreared upon the summit of a wave more than 100 times her own altitude, her apparent size exceeded that of any ship of the line or East Indiaman in existence. Her huge hull was of a deep, dingy black, unrelieved by any of the customary carvings of a ship. But what mainly inspired us with horror and astonishment was that she bore up under a press of sail in the very teeth of that supernatural sea and of that ungovernable hurricane. When we first discovered her, her bows were alone to be seen as she rose slowly from the dim and horrible gulf beyond her.
That was seriously dramatic. I'm blown away, first of all. So I had to just take a quick break just to say that. So
you better put some good music behind that.
I will. Seriously. I mean, I got goosebumps on my arms. The Flying Dutchman, according to folklore, is a ghost ship that is doomed to sail the oceans forever. There have been numerous sightings of the ship, and is usually spotted from a distance, glowing with ghostly light. It is said that if she is hailed by another ship, her crew will often try to send messages to land or to people long since dead. In ocean lore, the sight of this phantom ship is reckoned by seafarers to be a sign of impending doom.
Well, all I know is a lot of sailors are seeing a lot of strange things when they're out on the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that being out just on the sea, especially in this time period that we're talking about, was fairly rough.
Yes.
A rough kind of life.
You got rickets.
Correct. Well, wasn't there a lot of rum drinking going on, too?
Yes.
Such?
Yeah.
Scurvy.
Right. Which you probably had to drink more rum to get rid of.
No, you had to eat limes. Did you? That's why they called British sailors limeys, because in order to combat scurvy, you needed vitamin C. And since oranges were too expensive, they got lime. That's why they are called lime.
Nice.
I didn't know that. But look at that. Laying the knowledge out down.
Boom. Yep. Just dropped that mic. But don't really drop it.
No. Not only is the Flying Dutchman a famous ghost ship, but it's also, when you know you just took a shit, but when you wipe, there's nothing there.
Oh, my God.
And then you look in the toilet and there's nothing there, scaring you as if you've just seen a ghost ship.
Why would you say that?
I'm
just saying that the culture is evolving. So, the Dutchman itself, if you see it, then it's bad.
Right.
Yes, that's the main story of it.
Yes.
But since the ocean is giant, the odds of you being able to see it are probably pretty slim. Or do you think it could show up wherever it needs to be, or if it just wants to fuck with people?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, well, it depends on what you think it is, of course. Like, if you think it's just a thing that people see under certain circumstances, then it could be anywhere, of course. If you literally think it's specifically a boat, well, then, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we are talking about a ghost ship. So technically, if you're some sort of ghost expert, I would think that it could be anywhere it would want to be.
Right,
however, is it because it crashed here or something, and so it's stuck there for eternity? Or, you know, I mean, probably, I don't know. I would guess it would be one of those theories.
Right.
I mean, if I was the captain of a ghost ship.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I would go exclusively to those fucking Japanese jack-offs killing all the whales and the dolphins and haunt them the fuck back to Mount Fuji. That's
a good idea.
I'm in support of that.
I also don't like, I think it's, isn't it the shark, isn't it the Japanese that kill the sharks, but they just take their
fins off
and they just let the rest of it drop.
Yes. Right, that's disgusting.
Japanese are some fucked up people, man. They're dangerous. Like, eat monkeys, they will mess you up.
Yeah. There's a weird like dichotomy where like the society is so polite and so about like honor and all this stuff,
right.
But then this really fucked up stuff happens. Like, yeah, they massacre sharks to eat their fins. It's like, okay, you guys have got some problems.
Wait till we do the episode on what they did to China during World War II.
Oh God, is that what the next episode is?
It's not. No, no, no. This is down there. No, that's.
Oh God.
No.
All right. Well, I can't wait.
Oh so, gosh.
The all legend right, of the Flying on. Dutchman. Is said to have started in 1641 when a Dutch ship sank off the coast of the Cape of Good Hope. The Flying Dutchman was returning home to Holland after a trip to the Far East. As the ship approached the tip of Africa, Captain Vanderdecken, Decken is a good name for a guy on a ship.
I would think so, yeah.
thought that he should make a suggestion to his employers, the Dutch East India Company, to start a settlement at the Cape on the tip of Africa to provide a welcome respite to ships at sea.
He was so deep in thought that he failed to notice the dark clouds looming, and only when he heard the lookout scream out in terror did he realize that they had sailed straight into a fierce storm. That's a pretty shitty captain.
Yeah, he had one job. One.
I know, right?
No,
he had one job.
Technically, that was the lookout's job. I blame the lookout.
All right. Well, the captain and his crew battled for hours to get out of the storm, and at one stage, it looked like they would make it. Then they heard a sickening crunch. The ship had hit treacherous rocks and began to sink.
So, go on.
Oh, I was going to say, is the lookout's job to check the weather, or...
I thought they were looking for land.
Yeah, I thought he was looking for land, or rocks, or ice, or, you know... I mean, especially when we're talking about where they're coming around the Cape of Good Hope,
yeah,
right? So we're talking about a very treacherous part of the ocean where the weather literally could be, you know,
changing
that quickly from, you know, no breeze, very hot, to ice just to get around. The cape there, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. Yep.
So, I think that's what the lookout is, and he's also looking for other ships because there was a lot of piracy, right? So I think it's the captain's job to be checking the weather, but I might be wrong. Who knows?
All right. Well,
I mean, I just think that it's great that the guy was sailing his ship. He's going, you know, if we built a bar on. And all the sailors would come and hang out. I'd make a bunch of tips. I'd be on land.
Oh, God.
Meanwhile, like, in the distance, there's a storm, but he's going, sweet outfits. More of a tilted kilt thing than
Hooters.
Yeah, Hooters is tacky, but tilted kilt is classy, like, you know? And he was all daydreaming about what he was going to call it and, like, how everyone was going to be like, hey, Vanderdecken, good to see you, man. How are things here in the shark-infested waters of South Africa? And then fucking Larry the Lookout was too busy looking at the ocean instead of looking at the sky. Terrible.
Oh my gosh. Quite the crew they had there, huh?
I know. I was going to say, doesn't it seem like somewhere someone should have been paying attention? Like, there was a lot of attention not being paid.
Right. Yeah. And that's if the way that the story is being portrayed, because of course it is being pulled in 16, you know, or tapped in 1641.
Right.
So,
you know,
who knows?
This has nothing to do with ghost ships, but. So they're. Were Indians in America until we got rid of them.
Right.
And there's always tornadoes in like the middle of the country.
Mm-hmm.
The fuck did the Indians do the first time they saw a tornado? Like, they wouldn't have known what it was when it was far away. Like, if you saw a tornado far away, wouldn't you naturally go towards it and go, let's go find out what that thing is?
No, probably not. That's just me. I've seen a tornado.
I don't think I have. I can't remember where now. I've seen a funnel cloud that didn't touch down, and I almost died of a heart attack. I have an unusually outsized fear of tornadoes. I mean, obviously, everyone should be afraid of tornadoes, but I don't believe in past lives, but if I did, I would say I died in tornadoes like 100 times. They're like a special fear of mine. I've been like super paranoid about them ever since I can remember. I used to have nightmares about them.
Were you Dorothy?
No, but I just about dying in tornadoes. Maybe I was Dorothy. Maybe I was.
Yeah.
But like, there was. I remember one time I got so mad at my mom. So I went to high school in Ohio, and there were semi-frequently at least tornado-like watches, not necessarily warnings. I mean, it wasn't Kansas, but you know, it in New England it like never happens, but. There, it happened kind of often in the summer. And my family doesn't live there anymore, but they lived there for a while I was in college. And one time, I was, I don't know, just like talking to my mom online somehow by email or fucking instant message, who knows when this was. And she said, oh, yeah, there's a tornado warning right now. But, and like my brothers or something are in the basement. You know, they went down in the basement and took the pets, but I'm just going to sit up here and just keep watching TV, and I'll just, if I see something, I'll just go downstairs.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I like freaked out. I was like, no, you will go downstairs right now. I was like so upset at her. I was so angry. I was like, that is not how you do it. That is not how you do it. You go downstairs right now.
Oh my God. Like,
freaking out.
Right. Oh, it's probably that movie Twister.
Probably. That did fuck me up a little bit. It's a terrible movie, but it's still terrifying.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys know any scientists on Twitter?
Scientists?
I'm sure there's a lot of them that claim to be scientists.
No, but I'm not on Neil deGrasse Tyson. I have a legitimate science question that's important.
What is the science question?
How fast would the wind have to blow to knock over the pyramids?
I don't know. That's your question?
That's a job for science.
I don't even know where that question comes from.
I don't either.
All right, let's get back to
the boat.
Let's
just move along.
Let's get back on the boat. Everybody back on the boat. Okay. Let's go. Okay. Let's go. Let's go. Get your fresh fruit and let's get back on the boat. All right?
Okay. Yep. Yes.
As the ship plunged downwards. Sorry, that was a fast journey down as we got back on the boat and we're going right down.
We're going right down.
Captain Vanderdecken knew that death was approaching. He was not ready to die and screamed out a curse. I will round this cape even if I have to keep sailing until doomsday. Many people have claimed to have seen the Flying Dutchman, including the crew of a German submarine during World War II, and even a king of the United Kingdom.
So, he was just pissed.
He was mad. He was like, fuck this, I'm gonna keep fucking sailing.
He should be mad at himself. He should have been watching the weather.
That's probably why he was so mad.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, carry
on. He wanted to build his bar.
And yeah.
That's right. His tiki bar.
Mm-hmm. Man. Titty bar.
He got a bad deal.
He did.
So, now this ship has been seen by Kings of England and Nazi U-boats. So, that's a wide range.
Yeah,
right.
So, I guess they either cancel each other out or they verify each other.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, on 11th July, 1881, 4 a.m., the Royal Navy ship, the Bacchante, was rounding the tip of Africa when they were confronted with the sight of the Flying Dutchman. The midshipman, a prince who later became King George V, recorded that the lookout man and the officer of the watch had seen the Flying Dutchman, and he used these words to describe the ship. A strange red light, as of a phantom ship all aglow, in the midst of which light the masts, spars, and sails of a brig 200 yards distant stood out in strong relief.
As she came up on the port bow, where also the officer of the watch from the bridge clearly saw her, as did the quarterdeck midshipman, who was sent forward at once to the forecastle, But on arriving, there was no vestige nor any sign whatever of any material near or right away to the horizon, the night being clear and the sea calm. 13 persons altogether saw her. At 10:45 a.m., the ordinary seaman who had this morning reported the Flying Dutchman fell from the foretop mast cross trees onto the topgallant forecastle and was smashed to atoms.
I don't even, you know, even though I'm the boat authority, I mean, there's a lot of words in there that I'm like, I don't even know what those things are. Like the right. top mast, cross trees on the topgallant forecastle, it's like a whole nother language.
It is. Yes. True. The guy fell from a thing onto another thing and got smashed.
Right.
I assume he fell onto the deck. So I don't know what part of the boat is the forecastle.
It's the front.
Not just the forecastle, it's the top gallant forecastle.
The forecastle is the forward, it's the little box on the front of the boat. I'm Googling it, yes.
Ooh, they didn't have Google back then.
They did not. It's like the little part that sticks up. I'll send you a picture.
Okay.
I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah, we'll have to put it above.
It's a little higher than, like, the main deck.
Okay. Oh, I know what you're talking about. I know exactly where you're talking about.
Yeah.
On the boat. Okay. Very cool. So that's I'm amazed by their language.
Yes. Yes.
It's like they have to make up different words for everything. So, so this reputable ship that had a guy that ended up being the... said that they saw the Flying Dutchman. But I assume at the time that they just went, hey, look, there's some boat. Because
why wouldn't they say it was that? Wasn't it already a legend by then? This is 1881.
Yeah, but in olden times, I don't think they just wrote the name of the boat in the front like they do now, did they?
No, but the thing is that this is a story that in the 1800s they did have the names of the boats written on the side, not on the back, but on the front of the boat. But the thing is that these stories have been passed on, so it's not that they're seeing a sign on the boat and they're going, that's the Flying Dutchman. It's just that, you know, the sailors have just passed the story on and on and on, so they claim that it's the Flying Dutchman.
And then they pushed Larry off the forecastle topmast cross tree.
Well, the story says that when they see the Flying Dutchman, that bad things are going to happen.
Well, yeah, shit. If you saw any ghost, bad things would happen, and boats are dangerous anyway. Like, if there was a ghost in a fucking nitroglycerin factory and your job was to carry around nitroglycerin, then you'd be, every time the ghost shows up, something bad happens. Yes, because you're scared and you drop the nitroglycerin, you blow up.
Okay.
Just saying.
Wow.
Maybe. They were just trying to warn them of something, and it all got out of hand.
Or maybe the guy who was on the foretop mast cross trees, which now that I say that, I know exactly what they mean by that. Now that I've said it enough times, I can... maybe he was a bad guy. And maybe the Flying Dutchman decided that his time has come, and he was now doomed to sail the seas forever with the rest of the crew.
You're doomed to cruise the seas with us, Larry. You incompetent lookout who took an extra piece of cornbread.
Oh, well, okay.
Which I assume is a big crime on a ship. Because essentially, if you decide, since there's no bar at the end of Africa, you can't stop for anything because the fucking Vanderdecken blew that.
Way to go, Vanderdecken.
Yeah, thanks a lot, buddy.
And that man grew up to be Jimmy Buffett. All right, go on.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
All right. Sailors' legends and tall tales are many, and there may be no one true source for the story of the Flying Dutchman. But one theory put forth is that the appearance of a ghostly ship seemingly flying through the air or cresting an invisible wave may be the result of a unique optical illusion known as, and I'm probably going to mess this up, Fata Morgana.
I think that's right.
Okay, sweet.
That was, it's Italian, actually.
Named for the sorceress in the Arthurian tales and not Acadia's friend. Mm-hmm. The illusion is quite common over water, particularly in the polar regions, which seem to be closely associated with the Dutchman's story. This type of floating mirage relies on a temperature disparity at the surface of the water. A similar phenomenon exists in desert mirage. So, I went like crazy looking this up the other day, mm-hmm. and was obsessed and looked at like a million pictures, and it's super bizarre. So we definitely need to put these in the post about this. Mm-hmm. It's so weird. Like, I can see how you would see this and be like, what the fuck is that?
Right.
It's really weird. It's very strange looking.
Yeah, I mean, I've only seen, a desert-type mirage before. So right. I'm really interested to see this and what it's like.
Sometimes it looks like there's just something hovering in the air. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can see, like, a boat, like kind of where it's supposed to be, and then right above it, the same boat upside down. It's really strange.
Hmm.
It's interesting.
Bull flop. That's what it is.
Maybe it's just the Flying Dutchman.
Maybe it's the ghost. Maybe of it Matt is Morgan trying to kill everybody.
Oh my god!
Are you calling? However, many believe that the curse is real and have claimed to have spotted a phantom ship that gives off an eerie glow. It is said that this is a bad omen for sailors to spot the Flying Dutchman, because most who have seen it have perished or ran into misfortune shortly afterward. Some say that the ship actually tries to lure ships into the rocks and to their demise so that the dead can join the crew of the Dutchman, like Larry.
Stupid Larry.
The phantom ship is manned by the skeletons of the ill-fated crew and captain who are condemned to sail the seas for all eternity. In order for one of those damned souls to leave the ship and rest in peace, another sailor has to take his place.
Well, yeah. Skeleton army is actually a skeleton navy.
Well, Mr. That's Skeletal true. Has taken to the high seas, and that makes it everything more scary.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
It's true.
People are not prepared for a nautical war that takes place on two fronts. Like, the skeleton war is, now we're going to lose.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
They have an Air Force. Oh, look, it's a ghost skeleton blimp.
Oh. Don't even get us started on that. I mean, we'll be telling tales of the Bermuda Triangle.
That's right. Because
that involves
planes and boats.
Planes and boats.
I hope that there's a ghost blimp, because that would not be scary at all.
When I was a kid,
you were obsessed with the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, I read like a couple books about it. I was a weirdo when I was like 8 or 9 years old. I remember I read a lot of books about murder and a lot of books about like true stories.
Yeah,
and a lot of books about the Bermuda Triangle and like other weird freaky shit that I don't think 9-year-olds should probably be reading.
I know. I well, think then, it was probably
who
about
was your mom, B-Nev? So
yes.
Don't be
yes, yes.
Don't be saying you can't think of any topics. Then,
well, clearly I can.
Well, yeah, I'm all over. I mean, it took me 2 seconds to figure out what I was going to write a story about for the show, and you know, of course, writing the script, I have to put a lot of work into it. But, you know, I like a lot of these types of stories, so doing these are definitely fun to find and figure out and all the other stuff.
Well,
I heard you chuckle, Acadia.
What?
About all the hard work I had to put in.
I heard that too. I noticed that too.
Yeah.
It's not just copy, it's also paste. Bend your
mouth. Oh my god, we're gonna kill you.
I want the payoff. B-Nev.
Well, whatever the truth may be, the story's potent charm has continued to inspire generations of writers and other storytellers. The most famous incarnation of the story is Richard Wagner's opera of the same name, which debuted in 1843. Building on earlier versions in his opera, the story takes on an unlikely love story element, in which the doomed captain seeks an angelic reprieve by courting another captain's daughter's hand in marriage. If the wife is faithful to him, he may be released from his curse. In a fittingly tragic ending, the young wife throws herself into the sea to prove her love, finally ending his eternal torment.
Wow.
What?
Is
Okay.
It's Wagner.
You're a ghost captain, and yeah. You're hot for some chick.
Well, you're hot for her because you want to be released from your curse.
Right, but how did she...
He didn't just spontaneously fall in love with her.
How did her jumping into the ocean prove that she loved him? Wouldn't that prove the opposite? I don't want to marry this fucking skeleton wearing a captain's hat, so I'm going to jump into the ocean to get away from him?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think we might all have to see if there's a movie version of this opera that's not an opera.
I don't think we need to. I will put it to you both. Here are your choices. Marry a skeleton with a captain's hat who lives on a boat filled with other skeletons
or
jump into the ocean.
Yeah, I'd pick the jumping into the ocean. Well, by the way,
kind of a Beauty and the Beast type story.
It's not. The Beast had luxurious hair. This is a skeleton.
Skeleton. So,
oh my gosh.
This makes me think of the throwing yourself into the ocean makes me think of the real Little Mermaid fairy tale.
Oh,
have
yeah.
Have I ruined this for you guys yet?
No.
Okay. The real one by Hans Christian Andersen is much darker, obviously, than the Disney one. All fairy tales were dark, and then Disney Disneyfied them, right?
Right.
So in the real one, she does, like, some of the beginning stuff is real, is correct, I mean. Yeah. She sees the prince, she falls in love with him, she wants to go on land, she makes a deal with the evil witch or whatever, she loses her voice, she gets legs, blah, blah, blah. But then, instead of falling in love with her, the prince falls in love with somebody else, marries the somebody else, and so she is now supposed to, her punishment is like if he didn't fall in love with her, she has to kill him or else she dies or something. So she can't bring herself to kill him. And so her mermaid sisters don't want her to die. So they go and like sell their hair to the same witch or something to give her a chance to, maybe that was the killing him part. That's what, they sell their hair so that she can kill him. That's like the bargain they make. Now if she kills him, she can live. But she won't do it, so she throws herself into the ocean. But mermaids don't have souls. So she can either be foam on the ocean.
How did that come up?
It's just a rule. Mermaids don't have souls, apparently. And so she can either become foam on the ocean, or she can choose to like haunt around the world for 100 years or something, watching people cry and go through miserable experiences and cry like mermaid tears or something to earn a soul. It's like the worst.
Yeah.
The worst. Everything bad happens. The guy doesn't fall in love with her. Her life is terrible. She doesn't even get to have a soul. Now right. She has to go be tortured for like 100 years.
Oh my gosh.
It's ridiculous.
That is crazy. Yeah, those real stories. First of all, I love Hans Christian Andersen. First, just right off the bat. But yeah, those real stories that have now been Disneyfied.
Prettied up. Yeah.
If you're not aware that happened, and then you go into your phone because your daughter wants you to tell a story that you don't remember how it goes.
And you start reading the story.
And you read the one that's the bad one. It just, it really opens your eyes quick.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Well, Cenev, I see that now the wolf is eating the woman's throat.
Right.
And
yeah.
Now everyone is dead. The end.
Well, it's funny. We possibly might have talked about the three little pigs earlier. I'm not sure I'm thinking about something else. But, I'm sorry. It was my father who mentioned the three little pigs and something about Trump. But anyways, I accidentally read the original
three little pigs,
you know, in their houses story, and it is quite a bit different.
Oh boy.
I don't recommend that one, but Caroline loved it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Ay-ay-ay. Oh.
So, do you believe that the Flying Dutchman is a real thing?
Well, as we discussed in a previous podcast, I don't believe in anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, true. No, I think it's like some kind of optical illusion / sailors going crazy. I don't literally think there's a ghost ship with skeletons on it. I mean, come on.
Well, I would imagine if there is, that they're probably pretty lonely out there on the sea nowadays. As I said earlier, there's a lot of ships, you know, around.
No, I bet there's more shit.
No.
All that shit coming over from China?
No, we're talking about, what's a ghost ship going to do against...
With a giant tanker?
Yeah. What's a ghost ship going to do with a tanker? Yeah, exactly. The ghost ship probably got run over by a tanker.
Right.
And they all probably were covered in oil and were burned.
Probably.
Even worse. Their bones were burned to dust.
Most likely.
Yeah, I know. It's really sad. I mean, you got to die twice. And then where do you go? What kind of eternal torment does your dust go in the bottom of the ocean?
Oh my god. It's probably not good.
Now they're like literally fish food.
Yeah, literally.
Poor guys.
I think it's a really interesting story. I think it's possible that there was probably some sort of pirates out there at some point, maybe using this story to their advantage. That could be possible. It could be real. I'm not going to say that it's no. Oh, there's no way that, you know. I have no proof either way.
Right.
You know, these stories, just like anything else, are stories until proven otherwise. So, but I think it's a good story. So
it's good stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I like the idea of a boat with a bunch of skeletons on it, though.
Well, you know, I keep thinking of the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. So that was supposed to be the Flying Dutchman in one of the movies. Did any of you guys watch?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I can't believe we didn't talk about the Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah.
Right.
It's in a couple of the movies, right?
Is it in all of them that it's the Flying Dutchman? I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure even from the first one, because it's Jeffrey Rush, right? I think that's even in the first one.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, No,
you're right.
The Flying Dutchman was the other...
Davy Jones.
Yes.
Davy Jones
is the captain of the Flying Dutchman.
You're right.
Right. So here's another thing, too. It's a misconception that because of stories, again, being told throughout the years and little twists and turns happen, there was some confusion that the Flying Dutchman was the name of the captain and not the ship.
Ah, I see.
But it definitely was the ship. So, but you'll see that if you look into... books and shows and things like that, they'll sometimes in movies and things where they've mentioned it, they've said that the captain was the Flying Dutchman. In fact, I think there's a movie, an old movie from like the 50s that was called The Flying Dutchman, and it was the captain who was the Flying Dutchman.
Oh.
I'm gonna have to look into that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was probably like really good cheesy bad type movie, and I probably loved it.
Probably.
I don't like pirates.
Probably.
I don't like pirates, and I don't like cowboys. I like swords and wizards and shit, and I don't like space.
Of course you do. Weirdos.
Man, what the fuck? You like swords and wizards and shit, and you also like Star Wars, but you don't like space?
Yeah.
Final frontier, for Christ.
Yeah.
Do you want me to read the poem?
You're lame.
Yes. Yes.
It doesn't
rhyme. In a
pirate
voice.
Did you write this?
No, you were supposed to read it after I finished my last thing, so you might as well forget it now. It doesn't say discussion after it says BNAV, does it?
No, it doesn't.
So you might as well just forget the poem. God.
Bend your
God, you're the worst, Acadia.
Yeah.
There once was a lightship named Nantucket.
God. Idiot.
Whose mast was so long.
Okay. Okay. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, unless Acadia is booking us a cruise anytime soon, I don't think we're going to get all the answers we need to the Flying Dutchman.
I agree.
I'm not opposed to throwing you fuckers
in the water.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds great.
Yeah. I think I'm...
I will put you in a raft with a rum ham, and you can both just sit there and paddle around eating the rum ham and getting sunburned until you find the Flying Dutchman.
Nah.
And maybe you can find that Malaysian plane while you're at it.
How are we going to do the podcast if we're out at sea?
It may sound better. Transatlantic cable? I don't know.
No, we'll just record it on cassettes and then send them back by
we'll
albatross them, or something.
That's right.
We have to put them inside the bottle.
The
black bottles, yes.
You know what? Yeah. This would sound better if everybody had their own tape recorder. And then what'll happen is I will just, and then send me the tapes in the regular mail.
And then you'll just play all the tapes out loud.
And I will hold the tape recorders up to each other.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, that's so 1980s. It's perfect.
You could have the boom box. Yeah. And then...
Oh yeah. I told you I'm out of money. I can't get dual cassette boom boxes like
fancy
I'm
things.
Some fucking kind of fancy pants that can go to Record Town and just buy whatever I want.
Oh my God.
God damn. I didn't even know what the equalizer was for anyway. Look. The ocean is a scary mystery, and I want there to be more nautical tales. But that, what was it, Orang Medan?
Yeah.
You got to get to work on that one there, SpongeBob.
Yes. SpongeBob. You know, there is a SpongeBob episode where the Flying Dutchman is in. And actually, our fourth on the show was watching it the other night, when I posted the story. He said, I was just watching this.
There you go.
So now... This isn't going to air till after Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So technically what this means is if you're still listening to the show, if you got to this...
then you don't hate us.
Then you are tough motherfuckers. Because the previous weeks is grim. And I hope you liked it. And I hope you like this. And I hope you like going to patreon.com/Acadia and throwing us a couple bucks per month because that would get me 1/1,000,000th of the way towards not being $1 million in the hole every month so that I can keep Jen in fucking bus tokens so she can fart all around Boston all day.
Excuse me?
And B-Nev can... get Ubers back and forth to the salon.
Oh, yeah. I meant salon.
Yeah. All right. Strange Little Pod on Twitter. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to devote myself to Strange Little Pod on Twitter for the next week and see what happens.
Yeah.
And since this is we're recording this in the past, that means I got 2 weeks to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I may be a little bit helpful sometime next week because I will be in the hospital for a couple days. I'm going to be really drugged up, so it could be really exciting.
Right. If you're telling me that me putting you in the hospital would have gotten you to do more gallery things, I would have Nancy Kerrigan'd your fucking... Like, I would have Tonya Harding'd your leg a long time ago.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I was hoping you would say that you would get me a boob job or something, but
yeah,
I mean,
will,
that's fine.
But I think we talked about it before. That's fine, but I'm going to pay for one, and you decide if you like it, and then maybe you can get the second one.
That's right. Weren't there going to be some sort of vote or something?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
You buy one.
Right.
Because if you don't like it...
Oh my God.
I've saved myself a little money.
Right. Well, we should really look for a Groupon.
Or just
maybe
get
once
one.
Buy
you
one, get
what?
One.
Just get one and put it on your back, which that way your new boyfriend can squeeze it while you're dancing.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
my genius. God.
Let's not scare off my first date companion today.
That's right.
By calling him my new boyfriend.
Yes, you know what? Not, I don't have time to come up with. Look, this is going to be 2 weeks from now. So if you're still with him, he's your boyfriend. And if he says something like, "Oh, I just want to keep it casual" or anything like that, you're going to be like, "I have a tit on my back."
Wow.
Where else are you going to get that? I have to sleep on my side now. So you fucking honk that thing and take me dancing, Jerry.
Oh my gosh. Oh my god.
Good point.
See? That's right. Good it point. All boils down to things like that. Well, alrighty.
Yeah.
I adore my fellow companion so much that aww. I am going to stop recording and immediately, as soon as the recording is done, to start bitching at Jen. So,
hey!
Everybody,
do my work, you monster.
An amazing Halloween, and we look forward to entertaining you straight through next Halloween. And we are looking forward to making bigger and better shows and getting some engagement from the folks that are listening. If you liked any of the stories that we teased, or if there's anything else that you want to talk about or you want us to look into, I'm trying to avoid doing the big things like Dahmer and that kind of stuff, because everybody does those. And I'm trying to bring you some things, you know, that you might not have heard. That doesn't mean that we don't have our opinions on those bigger things, but if there's something that's a little off the beaten trip path, or you murdered somebody and want to talk to us, we're all ears. So, happy everything, and I guess we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye, Franz. Bye. It was just by B-Nev, who is apparently our legal team, that we do not want to give the impression that we want anybody listening to the show to actually go murder someone. So, my invitation to interview murderers would have to be
rescinded.
People who murdered somebody prior to October 21st, which is 2016, which is when we're recording this.
Right.
So that's the cutoff.
If you murder someone after that, we don't want to hear from you.
It's got nothing to do with us, and you're on your own.
That's right.
So thank you very
good
much,
job.
And that
goodbye.
Is our term and condition.
That's right.
So, old
this
time
message
murders,
is brought to you by
this disclaimer brought to you by jail and lawsuits.
Yes.
So that's it. If you already murdered somebody, just remember it's Jen Martinelli at Twitter.
Hey.
So just reach out to her. She'll engage you, and send her a DM. You know how.
No, do not send me a DM. Do not.
My gosh.
Good times. All right, thanks everybody. Just want to get that one in there before we all went to jail. So bye again.
Bye.